off. I did the opposite of what I wanted to do. Hey, how you guys doing out there? All right, yeah. Well, in case you're wondering what happened to Pastor Taylor, I ate him, obviously. Just kidding. Yeah, I don't even know where that went. You know, guys, it's the gems that just come on the fly. They're like, that's a good one. So normally you'd have Pastor Taylor here, our young adults pastor, but he is currently in Haiti serving the least of these. Heyo. That is a huge heart that we have here at Crossline is to go out into the world and especially help those that are in need. So awesome that Taylor gets to do that, representing the young adults community with other young adults people too that are there. So he's there. So he asked me to fill in. My name is Grant. Typically, my day job is the high school pastor here at Crossline. So I am filling in for him, helping him out here doing the sermon. Actually, I get the fun task of closing off the book of Philippians with you guys. So no biggie, just land a series that you guys have been in for a while. That's good. So just a little bit about me in case you're like, who the heck is this guy? I grew my first beard when I was a senior in high school. It's great. It's been with me since. Her name is Charlotte, named after Charlotte's Web because sometimes it'll catch food. That's just the way it is. So yeah, that's me. I started coming to Crossline when Crossline first started. I actually got saved through the gospel message at Crossline and made a decision to follow Jesus through Crossline. So Crossline has a special place in my heart. Came on staff in 2007, running the middle school, have since transitioned now into high school. I love, you know, I do really feel like the Lord has placed me into ministry and placed me into being a pastor. So if you want to know more about me and my story, I would love, obviously, I'm a bigger guy, so I enjoy food. And I also enjoy good coffee, only the best though, because I'm a total coffee snob. if you want to know more about me and I would love to be able to go out and grab coffee or grab food and just share a little bit more about my story and who I am. So that's me. As I said, I'm going to be finishing off Philippians here for the last service of Crossline today hosted by young adults. So let me pray and then we'll get going. Father God, we thank you for this moment, God, because the reality is your word says in Psalm 139 that there is no place that we could go that we could escape you. That Lord, this entire day we have been in your midst, we have been in your presence. And yet, God, we are here tonight at this service and maybe different than the rest of the days, our eyes are being opened to you now. Our ears are being open to your word now. And so God, I pray that as we are putting our attention towards you at this service, whether it be through the truths that we sing or the word that we're about to hear preached, God, I pray that we would be attentive to it. Would you give us eyes to see you in your word? Would you give us ears to hear you in your word, to listen to your word? God, would you give us minds to know you? And most importantly, God, would you give us hearts to receive you? Word, your truths, to receive the word that you have for us, God, hearts of flesh, hearts of good soil, that your word, your truths tonight might root themselves deeply within us and start molding us and transforming us more and more to look like Jesus. So for all of this, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so yes, you guys have been going through a series in the book of Philippians. I am closing it out. I don't know if it was just fortuitous. I don't know if that's a video you guys have been watching every time before Taylor does his message, but the words of that video are actually Paul's words there at the end of Philippians that we're going to be looking at tonight. So there you go. Go figure. My sermon's already written. It's great. So we're going to be, like I said, talking about Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there or it'll be on your screens there. So yeah, let me go ahead and read it. Here's what it says. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. And I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. And still, you did well by sharing with me in my hardship. And you, Philippians, know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, a welcome sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Those brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those from Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I'm going to go a little bit off track here just because I didn't give the prep to the guys in the back there. But good job on the last like couple verses here out of this passage, what we just did, greeting each other. That's a huge part of being in community. That's a huge part of being a part of the church, is understanding that it's not just you walking in faith alone. It's you walking with brothers and sisters in Christ. And part of being a part of that family, right, is that you don't just ignore your family. You don't just don't say hi to them. You have that relationship. You have that bond with your family to the point where you would even greet them. And so good job on the greeting. And just to encourage you guys as you continue along in your journey here following Jesus, to know that community is a big part of it, and to go and seek it out and to love the people that are around you. That's such a huge part of navigating in this world, is that we're not meant to navigate it alone on our own, but we're meant to navigate it amongst people. And so I would just, keep encouraging that amongst you to seek that out. Anytime that you're a part of a church or anytime that you go off somewhere is to find those other Christians that you can do life with, because that's a part of what it means to be a Christian. So that's the spiel there on the last couple of verses. With that, we're just going to be really looking and focusing on verses 10 to 20. And within these verses, there's kind of two main ideas that I get from these passages that we're going to talk about tonight. So the first, or the two ideas are this: how to cultivate healthy relationships and giving as a means of cultivating a Christ-like mindset. How to cultivate healthy relationships and giving as a means of cultivating a Christ-like mindset. As we look at these verses, it's very unique. Obviously, so this is a letter from Paul, and it's a typical letter of, you know, how you would write in the first century when you're writing to another person. And so what he's doing here at the end, he's just kind of closing off his letter, and he's making this, he's giving acknowledgement. He's acknowledging the fact that the Philippians have actually given him a gift. And if you can remember back to chapter one, the context for where Paul's at in life right now is Paul's actually in prison under Roman guard. And one of the things about that, though, it's not like our prisons where it's like we just get thrown in a cell and that's kind of it. And theirs, there's a little bit more free. Yeah, he's in jail, but people can kind of come and go and visit him. And so one of the things that the Philippians did, what we learned from these verses, right, is that they sent him a gift. And as you look at these verses, Paul has a really interesting way of saying thank you. it's a really weird way of saying thank you, because as you read them and as you kind of study them, it's like, wait, is Paul really saying thank you? Or like, what is he doing there? Like, this is so weird. What's he saying? But in the midst of him walking through this process of receiving the gift and rejoicing in it, he actually gives us a ton of insight and a ton of wisdom into, like I said, these two points: cultivating healthy relationships and giving as a means of cultivating a Christ-like mindset. So that's what we're going to be unpacking. And so for the first point, cultivating healthy relationships. Like I said, Paul does a really interesting thing here. So in verse 10, it just says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have renewed your care for me. You were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. You're like, great, good job, Paul. So amazing, so awesome. You're thanking them for your gift. Verse 11, I don't say this out of need. Wait, what? what is the point of him like start? He launches in from this point all the way through the rest of the passage there. He starts explaining what he means by his thank you. He doesn't just say, thank you, and I appreciated the gift. Have a great time in the Philippian church. I'll see you guys on the flip side. No, he's like, thank you, I rejoice in your gift, but now let me actually clarify a couple things there. Let me clarify a couple things that are going on with your gift. And so he's going to talk a lot about, I think, healthy relationships and what it looks like to have a healthy relationship as he clarifies his thank you. And healthy relationships, I think that's a fairly relevant topic to young adults. Statistically, right, we live at a time in history where we are more connected than any other time in history, but at the same time, we're more lonely than any other time in history. Despite the fact that we have access to so many different people and the ability to connect with so many people, we are living lives usually of loneliness. So that idea of, how do I cultivate a healthy relationship, healthy friendship, that's huge. You guys, I'm a part of young adults as well as a young adult. But another big part of this life stage, right, as a young adult is looking for the one. I've got to find the one. Who's going to be the one? How do you cultivate a healthy relationship there in that? Like I said, I think Paul's going to give us a couple bits of wisdom here from this passage. So as I look at cultivating a healthy relationship from this passage, there's gonna be two ideas that come out of it. And here's the first one. That part of cultivating healthy relationships is finding contentment in Christ. Part of cultivating healthy relationships is finding contentment in Christ. And so let's just look back at the passage there, starting in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you renewed your care for me. You were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So you read that and you're kind of like, well, wait a second. He's basically saying, I appreciate the gift, but I don't need it. Like, it's great that you sent it, but at the same time, like, I'm fine without it. And it's this crazy point because obviously, like, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, I was reading this in my quiet time a couple weeks ago, and as I read it through it this most recent time anyway, I was like, oh my gosh, Philippians chapter 1 is one of the most amazingly pastoral chapters of all time. It's just an encouragement of how to be a pastor. So obviously, Paul has a heart for the Philippians. He cares about the Philippians. He loves the Philippians. But you're kind of like, yeah, you have a really weird way of saying that. You have a really weird way of appreciating the gift that they gave you. But what, again, he's saying here, right, is for as great as the gift was, I just want to let you know that ultimately I have contentment. And Paul shares that there's been seasons in his life where he's had abundance, and there's been seasons in his life where he's had little. And in the seasons of abundance and in the seasons of little, he's found contentment in both of those seasons. And it's not because Paul is like mustering it up and being a tough, good soldier who can get through the good times and get through the hard times. No, Paul is saying that he has contentment, but he gives us that clarifying thing in everybody's favorite verse, right? Philippians 4:13. Where does his contentment come from? The fact that in Christ, he can go through any season that confronts him. Unfortunately, I'm sorry if I shattered your dreams of being able to like jump a motorbike across our lake here while chanting Philippians 4:13, because obviously that is, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, including, you know, jumping across lakes on dirt bikes. That verse, you know, a lot of people are going to use that verse and they're going to think about that verse, and oftentimes it's going to get applied to things like that. But the reality is, if we're rooting the verse in what Paul is saying here, I think what he's saying here is, in the midst of the good times, in the midst of the bad times, I can find contentment because I know that Christ is the one that gets me through it. I know that Christ is the one that'll ultimately satisfy me when I have much, and he's ultimately the one that'll satisfy me when I have little. He's the one that can provide in everything. And, you know, Paul shares there, obviously, like he's experienced that in his own life. And this is very much true to what Paul has already said in Philippians. You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And for Paul, his life was about living as Christ. And he made that his thing, that his life was not going to be marked by him. It was going to be marked by, I want to be known as somebody that is Christ here. So he sees him as his everything. You see it again in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10, when Paul says, I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That for Paul, his whole mission and his whole purpose, as we see in Philippians, is I want Christ more than anything else. And when I have Christ, I am content. When I have Christ, when that is the thing that I desire most, I am content. And I know because I have this Christ and because I've sought after this Christ and I've made it my goal to pursue this Christ and to know this Christ, I know that when good times happen, he's with me, he's getting me through them. When bad times happen, he's with me, he's getting me through them. It's all about him. And it's all about Jesus for Paul. And that's his priority, that's his mission. Again, he appreciates the gift, but it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, I could have lived without it. I could have been just fine without it. Because it's not the gift that makes me satisfied. It's not the gift that's ultimately going to be the greatest provision for me. that's always going to be Christ. Christ is going to be the one that satisfies me fully. Christ is going to be the one that fills me up and makes me content in this world. And so before I kind of turn the corner going into how does this apply to cultivating a healthy relationship, what I do want to kind of talk about is that idea of contentment. Would we be able to echo the words of Paul? Paul even says at the end of Philippians 3 to imitate him as he follows Jesus. And so if Paul's life was about finding contentment in Christ and making Christ his life and pursuing to know Christ at the loss of everything else, how often can our lives be marked by that? Or how often is our life marked by that? Do we really kind of model that same attitude that Paul had? Or it's like, no, literally without Jesus, I can't do anything. But with Jesus, I can do everything. I can get through anything. That's a big question for us to really wrestle with. It's a big question for me that I've really thought a lot about in this past season of mine. Because, growing up anyway, a big phrase that kind of came out was Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. And when you really kind of break that apart and you understand that, right? And I do think that that's true because Jesus says in John 17, this is eternal life, that you would know the Father and the Son whom you have sent. What is eternal life? It's relational. It's knowing the Father and it's knowing Jesus. So I am 100% on board with that. So then we have to think about, well, how are we relationally building into our walk with Jesus? Because if we're not relationally pursuing Jesus, I guarantee you we're not finding contentment in Jesus. We're going to find contentment in whatever it is that we're going after. And so it's that idea then, for Paul, like I said, his life was marked by Christ and his life was marked by the pursuit of counting all things as lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus and building and cultivating that relationship there. And so we have to be willing to put in that same time and that same effort to build that relationship with Jesus, because when we do that, then we'll find contentment. Then we'll find rest. Then we'll find peace. Because we recognize, yeah, he's the greatest. He's the goat for the reason. So we've got to be willing to do that, because that's what Paul's life was. So that's the first part of this idea of cultivating healthy relationships, finding contentment in Jesus. And like I said, I'll tie it all together after I make this second point. So it breaks apart kind of 11 to 14 is kind of a chunk, I would say. And then going 15 to 18 is the next chunk. So let's go ahead and read those verses. Here's what it says again. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, a welcome sacrifice pleasing to God. Again, we see here Paul thanking the Philippians for giving him a gift. At the same time, we also see him saying, but at the same time, I don't have a need for it. So he's saying thank you, but he's clarifying his thank you. And you're like, is he really saying thank you, or is he just like, what is he doing here? And so what we see from these verses is this. Part of cultivating healthy relationships is caring more about a person's spiritual life than their benefit to you. Part of cultivating healthy relationships is caring more about the other person and their life than your own life and what benefit they are to you. And we get that really, the thrust of that is coming out of verses 16 and 17. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Hold up though, let me clarify that. Not that I seek the gift. He's like, I didn't ask for the gift. You sent me the gift, but I didn't ask for it. And here's what he says. But I seek the fruit that is increasing to your account. You see, for Paul, it wasn't that he had received the gift from the Philippians. It was the fact that the Philippians gave him a gift that most excited him. Because in their giving, in the Philippians giving to him, it demonstrated to Paul something about their character. That it was increasing towards Christ. That it was becoming more Christ-like. And that's what Paul was most excited about. Not that he's like stoked, woohoo, you gave me a gift, yes. So happy. No, his whole thing was like, hey, thanks for the gift, but really what I'm more excited about is the fact that you gave me that gift, which is showing something about you. And again, you just boil it down to, you know, why did Paul write this letter to the Philippians? Because he obviously wanted to instruct the Philippians in something. He cared about the Philippians and cared about their spiritual life and their development. So he took the time to write this letter to them. Because that's Paul's heart in relationships. As he cares about the people that he's doing life with, sure, part of that is going to be that he benefits from the relationship, but more than anything else, it's, no, this is about you guys. This is about what's going on in your life. And you see the heartbeat of that even in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Philippians 2, 1 to 4 says this, if then there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. This is what brings Paul joy. By thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul there says, what is going to bring me joy, Philippians? It's when you guys have that attitude of humility to care more about other people and not just yourselves. And what does this gift demonstrate to Paul, these Philippians sending him this gift? They're kind of getting it. They're understanding it. They're understanding that life is not necessarily just about, well, what is the benefit that I can get from other people, but it's about pouring myself out and sacrifice towards others and treating others in that same way. And so Paul says here, you know, what's more exciting is not that I had a need for a gift, but it's about what's increasing to your account, your spiritual bank account, because you just made a huge deposit there in giving me this gift, because that shows, that demonstrates to me that you're looking out for others' interests and not just your own interest. You're getting the message, and that excites Paul more so than the actual gift. And that teaches us, right? It teaches us about relationships. Because oftentimes, right, when we think about going into a relationship or we think about friendships, oftentimes we put ourselves at the focus of it. Well, how is this person going to meet my needs? How is this friendship going to benefit me? And yet what Paul is saying here, no. I care more about you and what's going on in your life and how you're developing and molding as a human being and as a follower of Jesus. Yeah, you gave me a gift, but whatever. It's more so about what's going on internally. And so then as we turn the corner from looking at these verses about how, you know, how do these two ideas help us to cultivate healthy relationships, it's really this, that when we are content in Christ and others focused, then a strong foundation is laid to navigate relationships in a healthy way. When our bedrock foundation is contentedness in Christ and being others focused, we're laying a good foundation to be a part of relationships and friendships, because here's the reality of relationships and friendships. One, they're never going to be your ultimate. They're never going to be the thing that fully satisfies you. And two, there's going to be a lot of failures and hiccups that happen within them that are going to frustrate you and aren't going to be of any benefit to you. If anything, it's just going to upset you and tick you off. And yet when your foundation is on contentedness in Christ and it's being others focused, you're going to be able to navigate those things. You're going to be setting up that framework to have healthy relationships where you're not just looking for people to give to you because you need it, that without it, you're not content. Without it, you're hungry. And so you ravenously go after friendships, or you ravenously go after relationships trying to satisfy a need, which doesn't do any benefit to anyone else. It's just purely about you because you're not content. You're not satisfied. It's really difficult to have a relationship. It's really difficult to have a friendship if that person is your lifeblood, because you're no longer looking at them in a way that's loving or caring. You're looking at them as purely a way for you to find your fulfillment and your satisfaction. And Paul says, no, that's not how I do relationships. Whether you sent the gift to me or you didn't send the gift to me, I was content. And I will always be content because I have Jesus. And so our relationship doesn't work where I need you to give me stuff. No, I'm content. The fact that you give me stuff, man, I can just love you for that. Because he's been in prison. He's been in prison. He's been away from this church, right? The response could have easily been, why didn't you send anything sooner? You bums. He could have said that, right? Like, you should have known about this. I've been sending people out. Why didn't you send anything sooner? And he doesn't have that attitude because he's content in the Lord. He's content with what he has in the Lord. And so he doesn't have a need that somebody else has to meet. He knows God can meet his every need. And so the fact that somebody else can just give to him, man, that's like, whoo, this is great. I'm getting extra gravy. I'm getting extra frosting. I already have everything else I could possibly need, but now you guys are blessing me and I can just be thankful for it. I'm not sitting there with anger. I'm not sitting there with frustration over, why didn't you send it sooner? Same thing in a relationship, right? If we place all of our hope in a significant other, they're never going to be able to meet that. They're never going to be able to fulfill that. God didn't send us a spouse. God sent us Jesus, his son, because that's the person that can satisfy us. That's the person that can truly make us content. And so again, it's such a huge part to having a healthy relationship is you yourself having a contentedness in Christ, because then you can look at people and just be thankful that you have people in your life as opposed to needing people to meet a need in your life. And again, looking at the idea of, you know, the second part of what he says there, right? The idea of I had a need, but you sent me something, but I didn't technically need it. I was okay without it. What I'm more stoked about is the fact that you just sent it because it's showing something about your character. In that way, too, again, he's loving the people there. He's not, because he's just so stoked about them and what's going on in their life, he's not like, why didn't you send me more? Why didn't you give me more, you bums? Like, he's like, thanks. I appreciate that. I appreciate what you gave me. And whether they had given him $100 or whether they give him $1 billion, it wouldn't have mattered to him, because what was more concerning to Paul was the fact that they gave him something, because them giving him anything was a proof. It was an evidence that these guys are getting it. My brothers and sisters in Philippi, they are loving Jesus and being conformed to the image of Jesus, and they're giving. And this is proof, this is evidence of the spiritual transformation that's taking place. And I'm just stoked that you're putting into your spiritual bank account because you're living out your faith. You know, that other focused mentality, not what can this person give me? How can this person benefit me? I'm just stoked about what's going on in your life. That makes relationships a lot easier. Because instead of just continually being dissatisfied with like, oh, they're not doing this, or it's like whenever you get that opportunity to hang out with them because they're not meeting your need, or you're not worried about how much are they gonna give you, you're just stoked whenever you get a chance to hang out with them and see what's going on in life. You're just stoked on the fact that you get to have that relationship and getting to do life alongside somebody and watching the Lord pour into them and take care of them and grow. And you get to celebrate that as opposed to being dissatisfied with them. And so it's really interesting. It's really interesting that in Paul's thank you here in these verses, we get kind of two huge foundational pieces to having healthy relationships in his weird thank you. and how he goes on to explain what he means by that. Because as he explains it, right, we start to see if we want to have healthy relationships, we want to have healthy friendships, it starts with contentedness in Christ, and it starts with an other's focus. But I would be remiss to not mention anything about the fact that these verses exist. Why? Because of verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have renewed your care for me. You are in fact concerned about me, but lack the opportunity to show it. The whole reason that we have these verses is because the Philippians sent him a gift. And so not only do we can the focus be on the fact that he's giving us some healthy relational advice here and how we can navigate relationships in a good way, but he's also telling us this, that in giving financially or with our time, we are cultivating a Christ-like mindset of selflessness. The fact that they gave him a gift in Paul's mind was really a demonstration of who they are in Christ now. And he thanks them for that. He thanks them for the gift. You know, in verse 14, He says, still, you did well by sharing with me in the hardship. Verse 18, but I have received everything in full and I have an abundance. I'm fully supplied. Paul praises the fact that they gave. And again, what we even just unpacked a little bit previously, right, in verses 16 and 17, is that the gift was an evidence of a transformation that had taken place in the lives of the Philippians. You know, as you kind of trace threads through the letter of Philippians, trying to understand, well, why did he really write this letter? What was he really trying to accomplish in writing this letter? One of the things that seems pretty apparent at the end of chapter 1 in Philippians, even the beginning of chapter 3, and then at the end of chapter 3, is they were being confronted with some hostility. They were being confronted with some hardship. They were going through some stuff. And so in the midst of navigating some difficulties against some opponents of the faith, one of the things that is a huge thread throughout the entire book of Philippians is the idea of unity and selflessly caring and serving the people around you. You see that at the beginning when Paul says in chapter 1, listen, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Dying is better, by the way. Like, as great as it is here, eternity, heaven, way better than anything we're going to have here. I would rather have that. But what does he say in Philippians 1? I'll lay that aside. I'll lay that desire aside for you. Because I have a mission, I have a purpose here, and I'm not going to give up that mission. I'm not going to give up that purpose, even though I have a desire for something else. Paul there demonstrates selflessness. Philippians 2, 1 to 11, that is like the humility, others-focused passage, one of the greatest others-focused passages in the entire Bible, probably. The demonstration of what does it mean to truly humble yourself and let somebody else and serve and care for other people at the expense to yourself. And Paul says, like, I wish more than anything else that you would do that. You would consider others more worthy of yourself. And then that's verse 4 of chapter 2. And then verse 5, he says, have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And then he launches into verses 6 to 11, where he talks about how Jesus, who was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he gave that up to become a slave and to be willing to go to the cross and die for us. That idea of selflessness that exists there. Even at the beginning of chapter 4, you have kind of this verse there in verse 2 of chapter 4 where he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. He specifically mentions these two women here as like, hey, they need to make peace and come together, like be friends again. Who knows what the context was of what was tearing apart the relationship. But he makes a point here to actually specifically mention, like, hey, they need to be together. Again, a big part of the letter to the Philippians is this idea of selflessness and service towards others and counting others as greater than yourself. And when we do that, when we embody that attitude, when we embody that attitude where, in this case, it was the Philippians sending him a gift, when we embody that attitude, it's embracing our Christ-like nature that we have as Christians. It's who we were meant to be. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, as he's about to leave the Ephesian church, he quotes Jesus as saying, it's better to give than to receive. The life of a Christian is a life of giving and pouring yourself out more so than it is receiving. Because in giving ourselves, we're, again, embodying who we are in Christ. We're living out our identity of who we are in Christ. And so as we look at this, right, the greater reward is in not receiving gifts, but giving gifts. And he says, you know, I'm stoked that you guys are putting into your spiritual bank account, basically, right? And the two ways that you can go about depositing to your spiritual bank account that we see here in embracing a Christ-like nature is in financially giving as well as giving with our time. You know, Paul specifically mentions here that he received a gift. He probably received a gift of food. That's why he kind of talks about that a little bit in verses 11 and 12. He probably received a gift of food or the ability to have money to go purchase food, but he received this huge abundant gift where he was just completely satisfied there. The Philippians financially gave to him in some capacity, whether that was by purchasing food and sending that or by giving him money to go purchase food, whatever it was, they made a contribution financially. But then they also sent one of their own. They sent our pal Epaphroditus. Great name, by the way. we meet him at the end of Philippians 2. He was a servant that was sent by God, or he was a servant sent by the Philippians to accompany Paul along. And then Paul, in his love for the Philippians, when Epaphroditus got sick and they heard about it and they're worried, he sent him back. Like, they sent one of their own. And so as we think about, you know, embracing this Christ-like nature, it's going to come out from this example here through either financially or through our time. That giving financially is really a way for us to embrace who we are in Jesus, who we're meant to be in Jesus. Because we're not just holding on to it for ourselves. We're not doing, as Jesus says in Luke's gospel, building storehouses and just throwing it away for ourselves. No, we're giving it out and blessing others. Again, that's Jesus. He gave himself for us. And you see it in time. Maybe you're like, well, I don't have a ton of money, but I have time. I have the ability to help in that way or to serve in that way, to give my time. And that was Epaphroditus. He gave his time. He gave his life to go and journey around with Paul and be with him on his missionary journey. And so he used the time that he had to go in service to Paul and to meet Paul's needs on behalf of the Philippian church. And so we can embody that same Christ-like mindset of service that Paul really champions here in this passage by serving with our time and not just being selfish with our time and not just making time for who we are and what we want to do, but how can I serve and help other people? How can I serve and help the church? You know, because that's a part of it, right? Paul obviously was a minister of the gospel. He was a preacher. And so he was a part of that idea of the church. And so you guys being a part of your church here at Summit, you know, serve here and embrace your calling as a Christian, embrace your identity as a Christian, and either serve here, give here with your finances, or give here with your time. Or if you want double points, do both. It's one of the ways that we cultivate. It's one of the ways, again, you know, that's what he really champions here. Paul does in these verses to these Philippians as he closes out his letter here. He's like, you know, I'm just stoked that you guys are doing this and embracing this because it's showing something about your character. It's showing something about who you are in Christ. The fact that you sent one of your homies, the fact that you sent me a gift, like that shows something about you. And that's good. That's the kind of people that we want you to be. And what's so amazing about it is verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul basically removes the excuse from us. Well, if I don't know if I can give. Because if I give, well, like, there's no chance that I might get it back. Or what am I going to do? I'm going to be light a few bucks, whatever it is. It's like, hey, that doesn't matter. Because the reality is you have a God that can meet every single one of your needs. And so sure, you pour your time out and you don't feel blessed or you don't feel like it was worthwhile or you don't feel like you benefited anything for it. You don't even feel like you're appreciated for it. Well, guess what? God can still supply your needs and can still let you know that you did a good job for him. And that while nobody else saw it, the book of Hebrews tells us that God saw it. He doesn't miss when we serve. He doesn't miss when we pour ourselves out and nobody else seems to care. He sees it. And so he will care for us and he will meet us in that. And he will be the one there for us that we can find our contentedness in relationships when we pour ourselves out and we don't get anything back. And financially, right? I can't give. Like, create a budget, figure out how much I can give. Like, I can't give. Like, that's money that I could possibly have. God is the one that's in control of that. God's the one that can take care of that. And if we're really trusting what Paul says here in Philippians 4:13, right, that God can really meet every single one of our needs, then when we give financially, guess what? God can meet us there and take care of us as we give financially and we sacrifice there in order to embrace this kind of Christ-like character, this Christ-like attitude. So, it's pretty crazy. When Pastor Taylor asked me to preach on these verses, you kind of think, these are like the throwaway verses. You know, kind of give me the better stuff. Give me like Philippians 2, 1 to 11, Taylor, geez. But as I studied them and as I looked at them, I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot going on here. Go figure. And so, be encouraged in this. In these verses, we kind of get that framework of what it means to have healthy relationships. And it starts with that foundation of contentedness in Christ and being others-focused. and be encouraged to go and embrace your nature in Christ if you're a Christian by serving and by pouring yourself out, whether that's through your finances or whether that's through your time. When you do that, you are embracing Paul's hope here for the Philippians of putting others before themselves and embracing the attitude of Christ who poured himself out as God for us on our behalf. So let me pray, and then we're going to continue to worship God. We're going to do it through music. We have communion as well with the bread and the grape juice. I'm pretty sure it's grape juice. Who knows? You guys are of age. You might be able to drink wine. I don't know. Take that and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. We're also going to have prayer counselors around the room to go get prayer if you need that. But yeah, we're going to continue to turn our focus to God and let him be the one that we chase after and seek after here, because that's ultimately where contentedness is found. So let me pray. Father, oftentimes when we're confronted with your word, it can be a difficult one. And yet, Lord, it's what we need to hear sometimes. And it's the message that we need to hear in order that we might become more and more like the people that you want us to be, that we might be able to more and more embody the types of relationships that you want us to have. And so, God, I pray that for myself and for my brothers and sisters in here, that we would embody your desire for relationships, not by looking for relationships to satisfy us and by looking for the relational benefits, but God, rather would we benefit in relationships as we are content in you. And when we approach relationships with that at the core of us, that first and foremost, before anything else, Jesus, you are our everything. So that we can just appreciate the relationships and the friendships that we get to have that are part of doing life here, knowing that they don't have to be the things that satisfy us. They don't have to be the things that fill us up. Instead, we can just enjoy them because we're already content in you. And Lord, thank you for teaching us that relationships aren't just about our benefit and what we can get out of them, but it's about the other people. That relationships are two-way streets, and as much as we receive and get, we are meant to care about the person that we're doing life with, whether that's a significant other or whether that's a friend. And so would you help us to not just be me focused and what can I get out of this or what's of benefit to me, but God, would we truly care about the people that we're in those relationships or friendships with? And God, help us to embrace that attitude of Jesus, you know, the pinnacle of what it means to humbly submit ourselves and put others before. Would we follow that example? And would we model the witness of the Philippians, that they were willing to count others as more important, others as greater in their gifts of time and finances? Would we be willing to make that same commitment, knowing that we're not just doing it to do it, but knowing, Jesus, that we're doing it because it's conforming us to you? Would you help us to believe that truth? Would you help us to believe the truth that as we give in that way, Lord, we know that you can fill us up and we know that you can get us through the difficult moments as we pour ourselves out? I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.